Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. We begin a new series for the summer holidays entitled Heroes of Faith. This week our hero is David as he encounters Goliath, and our reflection is by the Reverend Fabian Wirtz. The reading is taken from Ephesians 6, beginning at verse 10. The story has been dramatised by St. James Players and can be viewed on our Facebook as well as our YouTube channel, both found on our website.
In the NIV translation, this reading from Ephesians chapter 6 begins with the word finally, while in the Message translation it begins with and. Whichever version you choose, the first word suggests Paul has been addressing other matters, and in the preceding chapter and a half of this letter to the people of Ephesus, he has been talking about relationships, how we should treat one another, where there should be unity or mutual dependence rather than power and control. In the final part of his epistle, Paul tells the reader how to deal with the difficulties and challenges of living a full Christian life, how God will equip us on a daily basis. I've chosen to read from the Message. Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10, a fight to the finish. And that about wraps it up. God is strong, and he wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no weekend war that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. This is the word of the Lord.
Start with prayer. Lord Jesus, as we explore the theme of faith, trust, and what it means to put on the armor that we may flourish as a church, as a people, expressing your intentions in our world. Open our hearts and our minds and encourage, strengthen, and challenge. In your name we ask. Amen. So this is the first week of Heroes of Faith, and each time there will be a story of a hero in the Old Testament or the New Testament, and then something related in the New Testament to unpack that theme. And the verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. So let me start with a little task for you to do. It will involve a question. It will involve you thinking about that question, and it will involve you pairing with someone. So the easiest is someone, you know, on your left, your right, or behind you, to give the answer to that question. There we go. So, think, pair, and share. Here is the question: have you ever seen a sports team win a match everyone was sure they would lose? There we go. So think. And if you think of sports teams that everyone you think they would lose, and they happen to win. Yes. So if you have an ID, then turn around or next to the right or the left, and just 30 seconds share what you found. Good, good. Do you need more time? Or yes, you were able. So if we come to a close, how many of you thought something involving cricket? Cricket team, there we go, a few. How many of you thought something involving a football team? A few, yes. Any other team shout, like a rugby team? Yes, okay, yeah, yeah. So how many of you actually have been talking about the cricket team right now? A few, maybe. So at the moment, if they win, there would be 2-2. And if they win the next game, then England will retain the Ashes, which in a sense felt quite unlikely after 2 losses to beginning with. So we'll see. Watch the space. I was thinking of a football match, and that's the 2005 Champions League between Liverpool and Milan. If you remember, they were not the favorites, and they were losing 3-0 after the first half. And in those days, 3-0 is kind of a done deal. And then within 6 minutes in the second half, they scored 3 goals. So it was a draw by the end of normal time, then it was a draw by the end of extra time, and they won on penalty. So quite unlikely win for that time. Well, our first story was about an unlikely win. They were all scared. All of Israel was scared of that giant Goliath. No one wanted to fight him. And then comes along this very young, possibly teenager, David, who looked at Goliath and remembered what God had done for him. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lions and the paw of the bears. Thank you very much, Nathan, for showing the paws of the lions and the paws of the bears. Yes, will also rescue me from this Philistine. It is the Lord who saves. The battle is the Lord. And before I go further, yesterday I got a little poem about that story, and so thank you very much for John Wilson, and he agreed for me to read it out. So this is the poem, kind of summarizing the story again. When David saw Goliath striding across the terrain, he knew this was a giant that really must be slain. He tried on heavy armor, but it really wasn't his thing. So he took along his lights, then a stone and sling. Goliath laughed to see this humble shepherd's boy and thought that they had sent him simply to annoy. So when the sling went spinning, he just wasn't impressed. Alas, too late. It couldn't be redressed. And you know what happens. Thank you, John. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean in your own understanding. Now, David trusted in the Lord, but he also thought he used his abilities, his experience. He knew what God had done for him in the past. And so the importance that he remembered. And so his faith was grounded in experience. It was not just a faith that had no foundation, but he also acted. He used his experience, his skills, but he trusted the Lord for the outcome. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, do not lean in your understanding. And the second half that we will learn later is submit yourself in all your choices, in all your ways, and he will guide your path. He will keep you on track as you listen to his voice in everything you do and everywhere you go. And in the other passage, it's about not assuming that we know best, but trusting in God's way to bring about life and unity in the church. And thank you, Fiona, for introducing that context. Usually we often hear about spiritual warfare and we use this passage of Ephesians 6, and it's very individualized. It's about you and God and all your struggles. But actually the context first and foremost is the context of life together and how the enemy wants to try to destroy that community of faith. Because when we're together, when we are united, and when we keep the first thing first and keep the main thing, there is a life and a power that is a blessing then to others. So how do we then walk the Christian life with the weapons or the instruments that God has given us? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's the basis first, is that trust in what God has in store and what he can do for us. So we had David there, and David wasn't too worried about the giant. Why? Because he already knew God. You see, when we face worries and anxieties, our own giants, maybe looking at the past, our failures or our shame, when we concentrate on them, then they can overwhelm us. When we learn to trust in the Lord, when we start to concentrate on who God is, they don't disappear, but I think they get more their rightful place. And then with his strength and with his grace and with his presence, we can face those giants. So what are your giants personally? Here there's some examples. Sometimes it's mistakes or failures in our lives. Sometimes it's just the worries of the future, the fears, the anxieties. There's many others, of course. But remember also that the context is the life together as a church. So what could be the giants in the life of the church, and how do we face them? Well, Paul says first, be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, Ephesians 6:10. The translation says, be strong because God is strong. And it goes back to David. He was able to act because God was strong. The outcome was God's. He could trust God because he had the experiences. And so he could then face that giant with courage. To strengthen yourself in the Lord is a form of words that actually is throughout Scripture. David later will say that he strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. You might remember Joshua, who was told to be strong and very courageous as he was facing lots of giants' task to conquer a whole land. And in the New Testament, we have, for example, to be watchful, stand firm in your faith, to be courageous and strong. That's what Paul says to the Corinthians Christian. God is strong, so we can be strong. And in the beginning of this letter, Paul says, he prays for the mighty power of God to be given to them. And he says, so that the surpassing greatness of his power in us who believe, and it is the operation of his mighty strength by which he raised Christ from the dead. When you read that sentence, it makes kind of no sense. And why? Is because Paul tried to compress all the words that existed in the Greek language about power, just to say, God is powerful, and you can be and stand strong in him. And that those words, one concentrate on the idea of power as the energy, energios, which is the sustaining power of God. God is able to sustain you. The other one is about the potential. That's more the enabling. He is also able to give you all the skills and the abilities to be sustained. And the other one is what we came with the word English, dynamite. And that's about, well, the amount of power that there is in God. It's like dynamite. And so Paul used in that sentence the three different words just to say God is able to enable you, he can enable you, he is able to sustain you, and his power exceeds your wildest dream. But there is something we need to do in this passage. It says we need not just to be strong, but to be prepared. Now, I thought at this stage of the talk, you might fall asleep a little bit, so I had this one. There we go. Be prepared. There we go. It's a bit more funny. How do we prepare ourselves? Well, the passage speaks about putting on the full armor of God. And it says it twice in this passage. The weapons of our Christian warfare, if we use those words, which might be quite, maybe not the best words in our world at the moment with the reality of wars around the world, but it's just to say, well, it's not just like, it is not like the world warfare. It's not about military forces. It's not about schemes and threats and lies and trying to impose our thoughts and our beliefs on others. No, it's about truth and righteousness. It's about the reality of God's presence, His justice, and it's about Jesus and following Him. So you're quite familiar with, if you've been in church circle, with that kind of armor and the different aspects. But the most important is, like David, what Paul wants us is to remember. Remember those realities. Remember the truth of the gospel. Remember that God is present with you and the righteousness that He has given to you. Remember what it means to grow in faith in following Jesus. So in that here, I'm going to stay on this one first. In our reading we said God's word is indispensable, and God's word in the time of the first Christian was mainly the Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament. They had some letters from Paul or things, but the God's word was that in light of what Jesus had done, it was to see and to read and to study the Old Testament in light of Jesus. And now we have, of course, the whole New Testament with the Gospels and the letters. And then prayer is also essential. And then we have this kind of helpful way, most really at the time when they had Romans around and they could see proper soldiers with helmets, and maybe it's a bit less helpful for us, but so a kind of a modern way, there we go, you have a belt of truth, the breast of righteousness, the gospel of peace. So what was Paul trying to say to the Christian there? Truth and righteousness is more about not just head knowledge, knowing the truth and knowing that through Christ, you know, we've been forgiven. It's about more a way of life. It's applying who God is, knowing that He can enable us, knowing that He can sustain us, so that the fruit of His presence become more and more real, not just in our lives, but in the life of the church. So truth, the truth about God, the truth about who we are, and the truth that we can live together a life that is empowered and accomplish His purpose. And the righteousness is about learning to grow as followers of Jesus, to live more and more His way of life. So we have truth and righteousness, and then we have the gospel. And at the beginning of the year, I don't know if you remember, we did the 6 weeks of Talking Jesus. You all have a story, God's story. And there is no two story like yours. So be confident in that story and share it with others. How God brought peace to you. Maybe it's peace of mind, maybe it's peace for the future, peace regarding death. Maybe it's just peace in the reality of your life. Although there are challenges, you know God is with you. Share those stories, the gospel of peace, the good news of Jesus to others. And then we have the shield of faith, which here can not just stop the arrows, but extinguish them, the flaming arrows. And in those days, there were kind of arrows with flames, and so you had the shield. But that's about kind of all the damages that could happen to you through the world, and the world, in a sense, influenced by the enemy of God. And here, unapologetically, Paul speaks of the devil. In Greek is diabolos, the enemy of God. And he will want to discourage us. He will want to bring us down to our knees. So we need that shield of faith. And we can remember David. They were all scared, shaken, all of Israel, because they had forgotten who God was. Only one stood firm, was David. He didn't have great skill apart from, you know, slinging a stone, but he had great experience about believing God will be with him and that the outcome is his, not him. And then the helmet of salvation to finish with, and the word. And salvation is more about more than just, you know, God died for me and there is no more condemnation in those in Christ. That's the truth. But the context, if it's linked to Isaiah, is that about victory. There is a passage, he says, God will wear the helmet of salvation in a sense of victory. So in that sense, it's a helmet of victory. We are more than conquerors. We are already victorious. Why? Because, well, most of the battle has been won. The battle between against sin and death has already, in a sense, been won by Christ. But it has to be applied in our life. And the reality of sin and stress and anxiety and worries is still there. But there is victory as we learn to trust in the Lord with all our hearts. And then the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. And as I said, for the first Christian, was mainly the story of the Old Testaments. And then the story of Jesus, the traditions of that were going around about Jesus' teaching. Now we have the whole New Testament to help us. But it's so important to spend time with Scriptures, to look at the promises, to build up our faith. And so Paul finishes that, when you do that, you will be able to stand firm, to stand your ground. Oops, there we go. So trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord. Let's learn together to more and more trust in the Lord with all our heart. This means not just our feeling. Heart often in our society is about the feeling, but it's all our life, all that we have, all our strength, all our thinking to trust in Him. We need divine grace and strength, but we can be strong because God is strong. And then we have this, the panoply of this God's spiritual kit, instead of saying kind of the spiritual armor or the spiritual kit that God has given us. The truth, righteousness, the peace that brings the gospel, faith, salvation, and the words, which is Christ and the Scripture, and to stand firm. So as we started the heroes of faith, be encouraged. We can be hero because God is strong. We can't live life that grows and is fruitful because God is on our side. So let's pray as we continue to seek to trust God in those coming weeks with all our hearts. Jesus, thank you that your word speaks to us. Be with us throughout these weeks as we explore heroes of faith. We thank you that you chose us to be your instruments in our age and in our day to bring about your good news. Keep us united as we seek to follow you and to express your desires and intentions in our community, in our families, at work, and in our lives. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.